Hi, I'm Mel Medeiros. I am a four-year cancer survivor. My blog, The Cancer Warrior, is one of the top 10 breast cancer blogs, according to Blogs.com. I'm here to bring a fresh, upbeat perspective to a topic that to some may seem scary. A positive mental attitude got me through my cancer, and I hope to share that with you. Today we're talking to Jeff Juden. He is a former Major League Baseball player, World Series winner, and he is also a cancer survivor, and I'm very excited to have him on the show today. How are you today, Jeff?
Doing great, Mel. How are you?
Excellent, excellent. I'm excited to have you on, even though I am a member of the Red Sox Nation. I do have to start with that, but, you know.
Yeah, I know the feeling. I grew up in Red Sox Nation, a big Red Sox fan as a kid, and I was kind of looked at like Benedict Arnold, you know, when I ended up having to sign with the Yankees, so I can feel your pain.
So let's talk a little bit about, you were in Red Sox Nation, you got drafted into essentially, you were the last player to pitch in the 20th century for the Yankees. Is that correct?
I started the last game of the millennium for them in Tampa. Yes. Oh. And that was the only game that I started for them. So it may be a trivia question down the line. You might win a cruise somewhere with that one.
There you go. Perfect. And tell me how you found out that you had cancer.
Well, I've had a couple of different things happen, you know, for me. And when I started playing baseball, I started chewing tobacco. And basically, I started with the sweet tasting stuff and ended up with about a can and a half Copenhagen habit a day. Yeah. So for me there, in that regard, I ended up being told every time I went into the dentist, you know, you have the stage one cancer in your lip. You get the stage one cancer in your lip. And then I had a lot of whiteness and stuff in my mouth. And what happened in my lip was I started getting these polyps that started growing in my lip. And so I had to have a couple of surgeries removing these polyps, and fortunately for me that, you know, those polyps ended up not being cancerous. And what happened was is the second time I had to go in, because after I had the first one cut out, another one started coming back and growing, and they got to be a little bigger than a pea size. And I asked the doctor to the oral surgeon to just cut every polyp out of my lip that could possibly even turn into that any future problems. And with that, I've been very fortunate. I stopped my Copenhagen habit. I haven't chewed any more since that point. And
just sticking to big league chew.
Yeah, you know, the gum, you know. Yes. Sticking with the gum, you know, found a much better alternative with that. And so, you know, I just feel real grateful, you know, that God has removed that from my life. And, you know, and I was fortunate enough that I had people that cared about me and caught it at an earlier stage before it had developed into something much, much worse.
The key is finding it early, for sure.
Yes, and in that regard, you know, I've been very fortunate. You know, I also had skin cancer cut out of my back. Oh. And a girl that I was dating at the time, you know, pushed on it and was like, oh, what is that? You know, and it felt like someone was stabbing me with a knife in the back. You know, I didn't know what it was. Wasn't even aware that it was there, actually. And so that was during one of the years that I was trying to make a comeback. And, you know, it set me a whole year behind on trying to come back to play baseball. Mm-hmm. And the doctor, again, you know, he said, well, Jeff, he goes, it's going to leave a scar. And I told him, Doc, look, I don't care how big the scar is, you know. I said, you cut as much as you want. Just make sure you cut everything around it. Make sure you get it. You know, I don't care about leaving a big scar behind. So I have a couple of big scars on my back from having that skin cancer cut out of the back, you know. And again, I was fortunate to catch it early. And, you know, at this point, that was about 5 years ago for me.
Oh, and, you know, a lot of people don't think that skin cancer is that dangerous, which I find very surprising.
You know, I don't mean to make light of my situation. I just, you know, I just lost my mom to ovarian cancer and watched her go through the chemotherapy. I lost a sister at a young age and to neuroblastoma, which I'll be putting together a foundation here to raise money for that cause here.
We'll talk about that in a little bit. But yeah, your mom, you were saying you don't need to make light of it.
Yeah, my mom, you know, my mom just passed away about a year and a half ago to ovarian cancer. She managed to survive 5 years with it, just about. And, you know, She went through the chemotherapy. She had to, have liters and liters of fluid drained.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, her spirit stayed strong, and she stayed positive. She always told me there's a positive for every negative and that everything happens for a reason,
That's true.
And so, you know, I miss her terribly now. You know, she really got involved with the ovarian cancer by going to Washington and being a part of their program that they do there.
Mm-hmm.
And recognition that she's not alone, you know, and she was very much inspired by the survivors of that, you know, that have made it through and stuff. You know, so that was great. She really, I could see her, you know, I could see her spirit being lifted, you know, that with the feeling that she wasn't alone.
Yes.
You know, so.
So that's another hard cancer to detect.
Yeah. Yeah. She ended up, I guess, what they called spotting.
Oh, yes.
The real wild, I don't know how to express, but, when she found out, I guess, a few of her other friends, after she shared her experience with some of her close friends of what she was going through, they ended up finding out that they had the same thing, you know.
Oh, wow.
Actually, yeah, you know, and just the awareness is, the awareness is so important. You know, like you said, trying to, you know, if you can get it early, I've been fortunate that I've been able to, that I managed to get it early, you know,
mm-hmm.
So.
What stage was she diagnosed at?
She was diagnosed, I think, in stage two.
Okay.
I want to say, like, stage two. She had a period of remission for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
That it was gone for, I'd say about 8 months. She stopped drinking alcohol. She started eating well, trying to exercise as much as she could, and stay as positive as she could.
Right.
You know, and I just was amazed on how she said, I'm either going to get busy dying, Jeff, or I'm going to get busy living, you know. And,
exactly.
You know, so she decided that, you know, she's going to take the high road. And she did some traveling with my dad and stuff, and seen some places she wanted to see, and kept a very, very positive outlook all the way through. You know, which was an incredible sign of her strength.
I think that's very important for a lot of survivors. And I know some people say, well, it won't necessarily cure you per se, but I always say, why would you want to be around somebody who's grumpy, whether they have cancer or not? You know?
Absolutely. I know. I mean, even today, this day, the way that I live my life, you know, I let the negativity go.
Mm-hmm,
you know,
exactly.
You know, my latest battle has been with alcohol, you know, and at this point I have over a year of sobriety. You know,
oh, congratulations.
Thank you. I was diagnosed with cirrhosis of the liver and told that I only had a year to live. If I didn't quit drinking, I wouldn't live to see my next birthday. And so I, again, you know, made a decision, you know, to try to make the adjustment. You know, I find myself having to make these adjustments in life that I lost a friend that was diagnosed with the same thing. He took the other road and he died a few months ago. So it just brings it all that much more clear to me that had I not made that choice to do the right thing, that, you know, the chances are that I wouldn't be talking to you today, even with that.
Well, so. I agree. And I know that my father actually passed away from diabetes because he said, well, I want to live the way I want to live and live, you know, and I don't believe he ever took his diabetes medication. And of course, you know, unfortunately he's not with us today, but you know, had he changed his lifestyle just slightly, taken his medication, not eaten the giant piece of chocolate cake that was in front of him the last time I saw him, then, you know, living your life the way you want is, you know, I guess it's all relative because he's not really living right now. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, the key again is awareness, you know.
Yes.
And one of the things that I'm going to do is I'm going to be, you know, I'm working on being a motivational speaker. I have that on my website at jeffjuden.com, and I haven't really had any speaking engagements yet. But, you know, a lot of it is going to be towards awareness, you know.
Right. Well, that's because you're in Red Sox.
For the kids.
That's because you're in Red Sox Nation and you're a former Yankees player. That's why, that's why you don't have a lot of...
I know the love. You know, they made it out like the big guy was picking on the little guy, you know, and they all chose Pedro over me, you know. I mean, you know, there was actually negotiations with Boston, but Dan Duquette never came through with the deal for me. Otherwise, I would have signed with Boston for sure, you know. And my father was representing me at the time and, you know, I actually turned down a few million dollar deals from other teams, you know, in hopes that the Red Sox would even make an offer at all. So,
yeah.
You know, I have to say that my heart was in Red Sox Nation, you know, and because of Dan Duquette basically not making an offer at all, and I would have taken anything to play for the Red Sox, you know, and a lot of people don't know that. You know, they just look at me as, oh, how could you play for the Yankees and all that? Well, I wasn't left with any choice, and I lost a lot of money and basically my career to that team.
Right.
So, you
but
know.
But you still have a World Series ring. I mean, that counts for something.
Well, the boss didn't even give me a World Series ring. You know,
what?
The only ring I have is an American League championship ring. We kind of, me and the Yankees, we didn't get along too well. So, I, you know, I had too much Red Sox Nation in my heart. So, yeah, that's all. So.
Wow, that's not right.
Yeah. So, yeah. There you go. That's the rivalry, right?
Yeah, that you are the rivalry, like in your heart and in your soul, for sure. Wow.
Yeah, I've lived it, that's for sure.
You have lived it. Now, tell me a little bit about your sister who passed away from neuroblastoma when she was, how old was she and how old are you?
She was diagnosed at 3 years old and went into the hospital, actually went into the doctor's, local physician, and had a stomach ache. I'll never forget the day, you know, she just, when it was a Saturday morning, and she went in and complained, and all my stomach hurts and stuff, and then what happened there was that, and I wasn't aware at first, but, you know, they had found a tumor in her stomach. Neuroblastoma is a nerve-based disease that spreads throughout all the organs and everything throughout the body rather quickly. There's a very small percentage of kids that can be saved. It mostly affects children. And, you know, if it's caught early enough, again, there's a chance for survival, but it spreads throughout all the organs. And once that happens, the success of overcoming it lessens a great deal. For me, I was 3 years older. I was 6 years old when she was diagnosed, and for the first year and a half, we were very competitive. She would play goalie, and I'd play, you know, I used to shoot pucks and stuff at her, and, you know, she'd get mad at me because we'd argue about things on TV. I want this, I gotta have this, you know. Christmas came around, she'd end up kicking me in the shins, you know, with these shoes on.
Yes.
You know, she was a tough cookie, you know, and, you know, Ronald McDonald would show up, and my parents would kind of shush me in the back, you know, and different things, you know. I felt like I had some kind of resentment towards her at first because I wasn't aware of her situation, you know, which sparked that real competitiveness between us until my father one day told me that, son, she's got a cancer that's going to ultimately kill her. So I went from being a real kind of a bad big brother, if you will, picking on her to how can I help you? Is there anything I can do for you?
But don't we all pick on her? I mean, my older brother picked on me, but I still love him.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's crazy, you know. I mean, you know, she went in to my mother the next day after I started treating her so nice and asked my mom, what the hell's the matter with Jeff? Something wrong with him? You know, why has he treated me so nice now? What's the matter with that boy? You know, and my mother just didn't know what to say, you know, and to, you know, she said
did,
that was
now
probably
did she
the
know?
Question.
The your
my,
sister?
My parents knew, but they were trying to hide it from me, you know what I mean, until it got to the point where it was just... It was affecting our family and affecting me so much, you know. I had a lot of anger, you know, inside. I just felt like, you know, what was wrong with me? You know, why were they treating her so special? I didn't know why, you know, until my dad finally told me, you know. And that's where, you know, like I said, I started treating her nice, you know. Now I have a sister that's 10 years younger than me, and I started off treating her like gold, and, and you know, I put her up on too high of a pedestal. Now we don't even talk because, you know, she's too far beyond me, you know. And it worked in an adverse effect, so I think the good sibling rivalry should is the best way to go. And that's the right way, you know, because right now, you know, with my sister and I, Lisa, that just isn't the case. So she passed away when I was, Kim passed away at nine, I was nine, and she was 6 years old, you know, and...
So she battled for 3 years?
She battled to the point where she couldn't even remove her bowels. She was so weak inside, and literally her whole body just couldn't handle it. She was given 6 months to live and survived for 3 years, you know. She was a fighter, and she was tough as they come, you know, and I know that she did the best she could.
Mm-hmm. Well, Red Sox Nation, she's tough.
Yeah, you know, I mean, we come from a strong part of the country. We are the spirit of America.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I actually grew up in New Hampshire, so yes.
Live free or die.
Exactly. So just a hop, skip, and a jump. So in your sister's memory, you wanted to create a foundation for neuroblastoma.
Yes, that is correct. You know, I am going to be setting that up, working on the paperwork, and working on raising some money towards getting that done. I have a music CD that I'm going to be putting out on iTunes and CD Baby here within the next month. I have a brilliant artist that just finished the cover for me.
Are you singing?
I'm singing, yep. 12 songs. It's going to be 12 songs I wrote, and it's going to be called Just Be. And I'm going to take half the proceeds from that, and I'm going to put the money towards the foundation and getting it started. And I am going to call the foundation the Kimberly Ann Juden Foundation for neuroblastoma.
Very nice.
Which was the disease that finally got her. So in loving memory of her will be the foundation's name. And, you know, the music is going to help to raise money and get that awareness out there for these kids. And
for parents as well.
And for parents, yes, you know, for parents. I mean, it's important. I have two young boys right now that are 8 and 10, and you know, it's scary, you know, just being a parent, you know. So, you know, the awareness of these types of situations is basically, you know, what has helped save me and save my life.
Exactly.
You know.
And that ex-girlfriend, even though you probably don't like her now, she saved your life.
Yeah, that's true. You know what? She was a blessing. You know, I believe everybody's put in our lives for a reason.
I agree.
And I'm just a lot more open-minded to acceptance of that kind of spirituality. You know, my faith is in God.
Mm-hmm.
I know that. And, you know, I've accepted God in my life a long time. You know, I couldn't ask why. Nobody had the answer why my sister Kim died. You know, no one had the money, couldn't have saved her. The smartest doctor couldn't have saved her.
Right.
You know, and nobody had the answers for me that I was looking for when they tried to be nice and answer me, you know, and in a way I could see right through that, you know, and I thought, you know, that's pathetic, you know. You know, they're just trying to humor me. And,
right.
You know, until I turned my will over to the power of God, have I found peace in my life.
That's awesome. And of course, I feel that when I was going through my cancer, I guess all the chemo and everything, I never felt at any point that God had ever let me down. You know, I know some people question and they're like, why me? I think I may have thought that once for a second, then I'm like, well, wait, I'm not the kind of person to like question God, because there, like you said, there's a reason for everything, but we may not have to like it, but there is a reason.
Yeah, well, I believe, you know, we're here, you know, because of his will, you
exactly.
know, and I believe that, you know, I'm still around here, you know, to try to do what I can, you know, to try to help raise awareness so that others don't have to go through some of the struggles, you know, that, you know, people have to go through, you know, if it can help make somebody's life a little easier by sharing my experience, and they don't, you know, they can learn, you know, through my experiences and my struggles, that, you know, then I feel like, you know, I'm serving a purpose higher than myself here.
And, absolutely.
And, you know, I'm grateful for every day that I have.
Same here. Now, getting back to your album, we were talking a little bit before the show about the artist who did the album cover.
Yes. She is a very special friend. Her name is Carolyn Peabody, and We are getting her business up and going here this week. It's called Artists and Beyond. And we'll have some of her work up on the website as well. She has the .com going and just trying to take care of some of the business paperwork for her so that she can go ahead and get some of her stuff out there. And, you know, she's been a great help, you know, in contributing this artwork. It's really, it's the kind of work that, you know, every time I look at it, I see something different. And the name of the piece she did for the art cover is called All Eyes on You. And there's a lot of little different faces, and it's actually me sitting there and somewhat of a baseball silhouette with a guitar across my lap and a lionfish coming to eat me up, and I'm totally unaware of this big fish that's about to just gobble me up. So
wow.
It's really amazing, and she certainly is a special talent, you know, and I'm grateful for having her help me for this, with this project, you know, so we can get some funds raised so I can get this organization, this foundation started.
When did you say the album will be out?
The album, I am going to release it on CD Baby sometime by the end of next week.
Okay. Mid-April.
So,
okay.
Yes, it's coming soon.
And then you'll put it on iTunes?
JeffJuden.com. I'll have it posted on JeffJuden.com, and also I'm on Facebook. And anyone can friend me on Facebook if my picture is the one with the ocean. It's standing out at the deep blue sea, right off of Marblehead, actually.
Ah.
There in Massachusetts. I used to go there with my mom and skip stones. She used to take me there. So, you know, I think of her every time I look at that picture. But if you want to find me and keep up to date with that, I will have it on my Facebook page as well as JeffJuden.com.
Awesome. And you are also part of Sniper International as well. Tell me a little bit about
that. Yes, I am. I've been lucky enough to been asked to be the representative of Florida, a sales rep of Florida, by Sniper Sports International. We are a brand new company and specialize in eyewear. We have polycarbonate lenses that are scratch-proof for longevity. The clarity of the lens and the optics we believe to be as equal or better than anyone, like the Oakleys or the Bollés, stuff like that. We have a fishing series that floats.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's pretty cool. We're the only ones that have that. So if anyone's ever lost a pair of sunglasses over the side or at the beach and stuff like that, you know, we have a series that floats, which is very cool. And we also have a Chimera 3-in-1 sunglasses, which are for motorcycle riders, people that ride the motorcycles or do the extreme sports. We have the plastic rubber piece there in the eyes to keep the dust out that pops in and out, as well as a strap that pops in and out. You can strap on your head strap and put the rubbers in there and head out on the road on your bike, ski down the mountain with them. And, you know, when you hit your destination, you pop out the strap and the rubber piece, and then temple pieces pop right in, and you have yourself a nice pair of shades. So
sweet.
for all the bikers out there that's had some eye sweat, you know, because the rubber pieces don't come out, and transitional lenses for night and day, lenses that change in and out of almost all of our pairs of glasses, so they can, you know, just change the lenses on them and stuff. Cutting edge technology. We've taken all of the mistakes and you know, made the adjustments to try to put out the best possible product that we can. And you know, we believe we've really stumbled onto something with our optics and our scratch proof polycarbonate lenses.
Did they ask you your opinion since you played Major League Baseball and the sun was in your eyes and that kind of thing?
Yeah, you know, I've handed some out, you know, to guys like Andre Dawson, the Hawk, and, you know, Cookie Rojas, and a few of the Hall of Famers when I played in the Legends game down here for the Joe DiMaggio Children's Hospital. They loved them. You know, the feedback has been great. You know, I've handed some out to our local sheriffs, and they're like, wow, these kill Oakleys.
Awesome.
You know, so we've gotten some really great responses, you know, from people in the field that are active, you know, on a regular basis. They're shatterproof, so, you know, you can wear them playing sports or, you know, athletics, or they're all ANSI approved. So
you got to get them to the military, it sounds like.
Yeah, you know what? Yeah, we have shooting glasses and stuff like that. Yeah, you'll have to go up to sniperinternational.com and take a look at our styles. We're getting started here. Looking for some investors. If there's anyone interested in investing, they can contact me directly. JJuden@snipereyewear.com. That's JJuden@snipereyewear.com. If they want to inquire about that, and there's a window of opportunity there to join us. So we have a lot of great things. Louis Tiant Jr. is on board, son of El Tiante the Great.
Excellent.
And Rico Petrocelli's son Mike is also on board with us, and we're growing from there. So we've got a lot of great people involved, and I'm very excited to be a part of that family.
And are the glasses available now? Sunglasses?
Yeah, we have the glasses. We have the styles up online. You know, if there's any styles or pairs of glasses that you can contact me at JJuden@snipereyewear.com, and check out my webpage and my Facebook page. Get a hold of me, JeffJuden@yahoo.com. So I'm a pretty easy guy to track down. I'll be happy to help in any way I can. I'll get them out to you as soon as possible. So they're available and ready to be sold.
Excellent. Well, I was just going to ask you for all your contact information, but you just gave it right there.
Yeah.
So, Well, quickly, how would I find you on iTunes or Crybaby? How would that work?
I have to get myself up there. I'm not up there, but I'm gonna put it under. I'm gonna put my name, Jeff Juden. So
okay.
I'm thinking that that'll be the easiest way for people to find me. That's when I'm going to put it up there under Jeff Juden. And the name of the CD is called Just Be. That's what I'm going to name it, Just
Makes
Be.
Sense.
So be anything you want to be, just be.
Anything
you ever dreamed of. So anything you want to be.
I love it. That's perfect, Jeff.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Well, thank you so much for joining me today, Jeff. If you want to hang on, I'm going to... Since you gave us all the information, I'm just waiting for my own CD and sunglasses, hint, hint. But hang on, I'm going to wrap
awesome.
Up. I'm just wrap up like I usually do. This is Mel Majoros. I am the Cancer Warrior. You can always find me on Facebook because I am a Facebook junkie, Mel Majoros. Become a fan of the Cancer Warrior on EmpowerRadio.com, on my Facebook page. And check out my blog, thecancerwarrior.blogspot.com. And as always, life looks pretty good from where I'm sitting. Sending you good vibes. It's the Cancer Warrior on EmpowerRadio.com.